In May of this year, May 18th, 2025, we had a family meeting in this room. It's about almost 4 months ago. I was telling the church at that family meeting about our thoughts and prayers and plans about the shell building. For you guys who are new, there's an empty shell of a building over here, so we have the really amazingly creative name of the shell building. And we were just talking about that, about fundraising and ideas for our future with that. In the middle of talking about it, right back in the back, I see a hand waving of Mr. Leroy, sitting in his normal spot, waving his hand eagerly back and forth, which was an unusual thing at a family meeting. It's normally not this conversation back and forth where people are raising their hands. So I said, "Mr. Leroy, do you have something to say?" And Mr. Leroy shouted, some of you guys remember, just a few months ago. He said, "I have $30 right here, and I want to give it to the shell building, and I'll encourage everybody to pray and ask the Lord what he wants you to give. I want to encourage you to give." Leroy gave his $30. On Monday, June 23rd, 5 weeks later, Mr. Leroy went to bed in his home just a few streets away here in Sangaree and woke up to be with King Jesus for eternity. We miss him and we loved him dearly and we rejoice in his memory and that we will see him again one day. And it is in and with that memory of Mr. Leroy, his exhortation at that family meeting 4 months ago, and with his daughter's permission, that one of the things we're going to be talking about today is our plans for the shell building, our fundraising campaign, and we are naming that Leroy's Challenge. So that is our plan. That's Mr. Leroy. That picture actually was taken 2 days before he passed away, which was pretty amazing. In our 14 years as a church, I've preached almost 500 sermons. I think this is the third one of preaching and talking through fundraising. So no, this is not the diet of our church for you guys. We are a verse-by-verse teaching on God's Word. We are going to study God's Word today, but it's a little twist on it with thinking about fundraising today. What we want to talk about is accepting Leroy's challenge, but we don't do that on our own. We do it together, and we, the church, don't just do it out of obligation. We only want to do what the Spirit of God is calling us to do. So let's look at Philippians 4, because there's not just a challenge from Leroy. The Lord has a lot to say about generosity. In some ways, we want to think through the biblical foundation for understanding generosity. In today's text, we see it speaks about finances, but in many ways, it speaks more about partnership and how the Philippian church trusted God. Look at Philippians 4, starting at verse 10. This is Paul speaking. He says, "I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need." Verse 13, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I'm well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." The Lord bless the reading and preaching of his word. In this passage, Paul speaks of the grace of provision. the grace of provision. Paul says to the Philippians, you have revived your concern for me, verse 10. And verse 14, it was kind of you to share my trouble. So what were the Philippians doing? They were supporting Paul's ministry financially. But notice that even in thanking the Philippians, Paul wants to give them a theological perspective on finances and God's provision. Look at verse 11 through 13. The summary there, Paul's basically speaking of contentment he has, whether in plenty or in want. He can do all things through Christ, meaning contentment, not shooting threes like we see Steph Curry and others say. That verse is actually talking about contentment. Whether it's a lot or little, I can do all things through Christ. Verse 15, Paul speaks of how the Philippians partnered with him. They carried his burden. They had fellowship with him as they provided for his ministry. And in verse 16, he says that they even sent provision for him while he was in Thessalonica. You see, these Philippian believers loved Paul and supported his ministry, but even more, they loved the Lord. And they supported the Lord's work. And I think verse 17 has something that's key for us to think about when we think about generosity and providing finances for God's work. Look at verse 17. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. He's saying, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to the credit of the giver. Here's what Paul's saying. I'm not seeking a financial gift from you. What I am seeking is the spiritual fruit that God blesses you with as you give. As God is stirring you to give, I, Paul, want you to give. I want you to be blessed by obeying the Spirit's calling upon you. Or as Paul said, like we saw last week in Acts 20, he's talking to the Ephesian elders, and the last words he says to them, he says, you're not going to see me again, but here's what he says. He quotes Jesus, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Those are the last words he gives these Ephesian elders. He's talking about a generosity that it actually is. If we believe Jesus, it actually is more blessed to give. Actually more blessed to be a generous person. Paul's saying there is grace to you as you provide for others. In verse 18, Paul says that he's well supplied. He has received the gift from the Philippians. And note the Godward expression of this financial gift. Look at verse 18, what the financial gift is called. It is a, quote, fragrant offering. It's this aroma that pleases the Lord. He also calls it an acceptable sacrifice to God. God knows it. He sees it. He's honored by it. Just reminds me of Jesus as he is looking in the temple and there's different people giving and some people are like clanging all their money together to do a show. And Jesus points out this widow who just quietly gives two pennies basically and says she gave out of her poverty. She gave the most here. And he's like, she's the one that's blessed. It's not just amounts, it's heart. It's heart posture. He says this is a fragrant offering. This is a sacrifice acceptable to God. It's pleasing to God. Friends, when we give to the needs of Christ's church, it is an offering to God and is a joy to serve God. So as Mr. Leroy waved his wallet, he was overjoyed at the gift he got to give. He wanted to play a part in this, and that pleases God. Friends, the joy that the Philippians had and the faithfulness that they felt to give to Christ's mission is what we, the elders, are bringing you today. If you feel led to give toward Leroy's challenge, praise God. We're giving an opportunity to give. We want to rejoice greatly with you that you have this opportunity to receive fresh grace from God as you give in partnership to what he's calling you to. What does that mean? That means many of us will feel called to give. But that also means some of us may not feel called to give to Leroy's challenge. Here's what we desire. We want obedience to God for every single member of Risen Hope. We want cheerful givers. Even more, God wants cheerful givers. Givers that are rejoicing to supply where there's a need. And yes, friends, we're going to talk about financial goals in a second. We have those in mind. But here's the main goal, 100% faithfulness. In the sense of putting this before the Lord and saying, Lord, do you want me to be part of this or do you not? And friends, there is a need. So let me talk about that. Leroy's Challenge is a 16-month fundraising campaign for the rest of 2025 and 2026 where we're seeking to raise $450,000. The total for the Shell building is about $2.5 million. Can you put that next slide up? $2.5 million. We have raised as a church family $900,000. Well done. That's pretty amazing. Over the last several years since we've been here and we've been looking at, we've raised about $900,000, but we need $1.6 million to complete the Shell building. Now, in that money, we spent about $150,000 on permitting and architecture and ceilings and doors and future windows. You can go in there and see there's a stack of windows right as you walk in that are going to be used. Then there's $750,000 in savings, and most of that's going to be used for the site work, which is the parking lot, the curbing, the moving the playground, the retention pond, all the outside exterior stuff that we have to have done in order to get a certificate of occupancy. So here's what I'm saying. We have raised about $900,000, and we will be spending, after the site work's done, $900,000. So here's an important note as we've talked through fundraising in the past. When we first started planning the Shell building and the plans here, we had two phases. We had phase one was finish that building, let's get in there. Phase two was all the site work. Berkeley County basically gave a verbal agreement to that. We're like, cool, let's take the hill. If you guys remember to take the hill, we were talking through that. So we were walking toward that. We raised significant money, and in the midst of that with permitting, Berkeley basically changed. And they're like, no two phases. You have to do it all at the same time. That's why we're now saying we've got to do it all at the same time, because Berkeley's saying you've got to do it all at the same time. So things change. So where does that leave us? Well, we need about $1.6 million to complete the Shell building. And there's three avenues that we believe we could pull this off, we could do this if the Lord desires. The first is we're seeking to internally raise money through Leroy's Challenge, through a financial campaign over the next 16 months. That's us. Of that $450,000, $300,000 of that is kind of like down payment to go. Like if you're putting down a down payment on a house, you're putting down money to work toward the house, toward the mortgage, if you will. The second avenue and that other $150,000 of the $450,000. So three toward kind of the down payment, $150,000 toward the loan. So we're looking to get between an $800,000 to $1 million loan. That $150,000 helps us pay that loan for 2 years. What that does, it helps us to adjust what financially happens. Because here's what happens. If you buy a bigger house, your electricity bill is higher. Your taxes are higher. You're all those things. So we've got some bandwidth where we've got to adjust to know what is it going to cost. Our taxes are going to be higher. Our, this is a weird word, impervious surface taxes, where like we have now different drainage because we have more parking lot. That actually costs more now. So we get an opportunity to like learn and grow into the mortgage. So the second thing, so first is Leroy's Challenge. The second thing is getting a loan. And part of that loan is going to be paid for the first 2 years through Leroy's Challenge. We're also probably going to come to the church for a few years, we're not sure how long, and just say, hey, can we raise the mortgage this year so that we can figure this out over the years and have normal budget money? Our budget through the year is not having the mortgage to it. Eventually, we'll put those together, kind of learn how to do that, but we're going to need to grow in different ways financially. So the mortgage will be different than our regular budget for a few years, and we're kind of getting a two-year ramp on that. All right, so if you're not following me, can you put that slide up, that next one? Okay, so this is kind of the way we're looking. We're looking at the $300,000 and $150,000, that's Leroy's Challenge. Then we're looking at loan, which is 800 to a million. And then the third thing we're doing is looking at outside funding resources, so mainly outside donors. We have raised $900,000 over the last several years. $400,000 of that was outside donors. So we've seen this before. We've seen the Lord provide in this way. And if you know of people who might be interested in thinking through this with us, I would love to talk to them and just have a conversation. I heard one guy say, you don't want to give somebody your no or their no. Meaning we want to ask and say, hey, would you want to support this? Maybe God's stirring, maybe God's not, but all we want to do is put that out there and see, like, what is God stirring people to do? Now, we have a host of former families that loved Risen Hope but moved away, a lot of military people and people with job changes, and we're going to contact many of them and say, hey, would you want to take part in this? You loved Risen Hope when you were here. You've left now. You're, you know, across in Seattle or wherever you are. We want to see if you want to be a part of that. So this is kind of a summary of the plan that we're looking to do to get into that building. Three avenues: Leroy's Challenge fundraising, a loan, and outside funding. Friends, we trust that God can provide this, and we believe that we're to come and ask him and bring this before you as a church family. We've seen God provide. With Take the Hill, God provided $150,000 in 6 months. We believe God can provide $450,000 in 16 months. And I love what our friend Christopher Warren, which it was a blessing having you lead worship again, Christopher. Glad for your being able to see, and I don't know what you can see and what you can't see, but it's great having you back up here. Christopher was a banker for years. He worked in Wachovia and then Wells Fargo, moving huge sums of money and negotiating financially. And here's what Christopher continually says, and I just hear this mantra when I think about funding and fundraising and things, is that we want 100% faithfulness to God. We want 100% faithfulness to God. In some ways, this is not even about money. If you're called to give, then give. If you're not called to give, don't give. But let's be 100% faithful that 100% of the members of Risen Hope are putting this before the Lord and saying, Lord, do you want me to be a part of this? And if he desires you to be a part, then do what he's stirring you to give. Honestly, for Kristen and me, we've had some money in account that I've known this is coming. I'm like, okay, I'm ready. I was talking to Kristen. I was like, okay, I moved that out of a money market so that we can like give toward this. Because we've seen God provide abundantly before, just even in our personal lives. So when we were just praying, like, Lord, would you provide for this adoption? We saw $80,000 raised in 10 months. Years ago, we were planning on doing a mission trip. Kristen's like, I think we should take the whole family. I'm like, I don't think so. That's too expensive. Within weeks, $10,000 was raised. Friends, we've seen braces paid for, cars paid for, bills paid for, college paid for, because God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And we want to move toward God. Like, God, if you're calling us to this, we want to do this. And you may say, Mike, those are great. Those are good personal stories. But do you have any stories about how God has provided for buildings and facilities? Friends, look around. Just open your eyes and look at this. This is all a gift from the Lord to us. We, Risen Hope, have zero debt. Around 2015, I know, praise God. Around 2015, we started a campaign called Mission 18. A handful of you in the room even remember this. Mission 18, where we sought to raise money for a future facility, a 3-year from 2015 to 2018. And our small little church plant raised $160,000. And we didn't know why we were doing it. We just knew the Lord's stirring us to do something, and we want to be faithful. We knew God was preparing us for the future. Friends, that $160,000 is what renovated this building. When we merged with Sangaree Baptist, there was 40-year-old carpet and 40-year-old pews and a very small lobby that you would cram in. Miss Charlene can say, yes, I remembered all that. She was part of Sangaree Baptist. And so, like, we needed something different. And so, friends, has God provided before? The chairs you sit in, the polished concrete that you walk on, Oh, friends, the bathrooms you use. The bathrooms here had accordion-style doors. They would literally hit your knees as you sat on the toilet. Sorry for this gross image. And there's more than one story of children opening those accordion doors on people. We were like, we need to change the bathrooms here. And ladies, we wanted to serve you well. You have like double the size of bathrooms as the guys have because we wanted to bless you. I remember some of the Sangre Baptist people being like, we love the bathrooms. I'm like, praise God. Friends, the Lord used that as we were stirred. And friends, those were paid for. You and I used them, but they were paid for by others. In fact, there was a guy named Andrew Rowley who won the Wheel of Fortune during that time of the Mission 18 campaign. Andrew gave part of the proceeds to that fundraiser. You can show the picture of him. There's Andrew. He looks so young there. And Andrew and Brittany were newlyweds. They were in the nuke school for the Navy. They love the Lord, and they love this local church. And friends, God can provide. He can provide through us. He can provide through others. He can provide through game shows, like however he wants for his glory. And we get the privilege of being part of this story. Paul said, we get the grace as God provides through us. You can take the picture down. In Philippians 4:19, Paul had just encouraged this church about their gift and how well supplied it made him. He is grateful for the grace of God in their lives. But then look at what verse 19 says. It says this, and my God will supply every need of yours according to the riches of in glory in Christ Jesus. Part of generosity is trusting God's promise as we give, trusting that God will actually supply our needs as we seek to be generous to the needs of those around us. Friends, point number two is trusting God as we give. Trusting God as we give. As we trust God, we believe that he will supply for our needs. Now, our definition of needs might be different. Like if you're like, man, that sweet 2025 Harley down the road that I really want, that might not be a need. Or those like new Jordans, like, maybe not the need in God's definition. Friends, but we also don't believe in name it, claim it, health, wealth, gospel, where we give with the motivation of getting. God is not a cosmic slot machine. Friends, the motive of giving is joy in God. It's cheerful giving. We get to be part of God's kingdom work. We have been given so much, and we gladly give whatever God calls us to give whenever he calls us to give. Just think about the generous heart of God. One of the most popular verses, if you just think about the Bible, one of the most popular verses speaks of God's generosity. John 3:16, for God the Father so loved the world that he gave. He gave the generous heart of God, a radical generosity. In Philippians 4:19, that is what Paul is highlighting. Paul is saying, hey, Philippians, you've been so generous. Thank you. You saw an opportunity to provide. Thank you. God stirred you, and God will provide for you. And friends, there are testimony after testimonies in this room of people who have been generous, and God has supplied for them. They said, okay, Lord, my yes is on the table, whatever you want. And God richly supplied for them to be able to give, and for them to receive, to be able to give more. So for some of us, Leroy's challenge may be a 16-month reorientation of our views of God and money. You may pledge a little, but there's a lot of work that God is going to do in your heart during this time. Friends, let us submit to God. He is so good. Trust me, you want to get in on God's view of generosity. It is radical living and is empowered by the Holy Spirit. And here's a part of Leroy's challenge that I think is so vital for us to understand over the next 16 months. We have, point number three, a desire to give to things that are beyond us. Giving to things that are beyond us. Part of kingdom living is giving our lives to things that we may never see. The analogy Paul often gives, or Jesus does, is sowing. You're sowing. You're sowing. And sometimes others reap the benefits of our sowing. In Philippians 4, it speaks of two different gifts that the church gave to Paul. But actually, we know from other texts of Scripture that there are four offerings, four gifts that the Philippian church gave to Paul. First, they gave right after Paul's leaving Philippi. Verse 15 speaks of that. Secondly, they gave to Paul while he's at Thessalonica. Verse 16 speaks of that. Thirdly, in 2 Corinthians 11:9, it says this. Paul says to the Corinthians, he said, "I was with you, Corinthian church, and was in need. I did not burden anyone, for the brothers who came from Macedonia," which is where Philippi is, "supplied my need." And fourthly, this Philippian church gave to Paul as he was in prison toward the end of his life in Rome. Four different gifts, and that gift was from Epaphroditus. Friends, we know, get this, that Paul was not in Philippi very often. He did not spend tons of time there throughout the ministry years that he was there. But this church had a heart for doing things and giving to things that were beyond them that they would never see. They had a heart for the mission of God. They had a heart for gospel work that they wouldn't see. Isn't that a wonderful heart to have? Giving first and foremost to honor God, not knowing what all is going to happen or being able to see it all. Friends, Leroy knew he would never see the shell building done. Or if he did see it done, that he wouldn't be here long enough to enjoy it. He was an 86-year-old man with an oxygen tank, with constant VA appointments. Like, he was not giving for himself. He was not giving just thinking about what he would give or get. He was giving because he wanted to honor God, and he wanted the shell building for a church family that he loved so much. He saw that this building was often crowded. It's not extensively crowded today. But Leroy would constantly be at Food Lion, giving out tracts, inviting people to church. And he wanted a building that would hold those people. Friends, currently we have 199 members and kids of members in this church. Now, we, as of this week, with Molly Griffin born, we have 200. So, good job, Molly. She pushed us over the edge. The Griffins are online. Hi, Griffins. Because they just had the baby, obviously. We have we'll probably have around 16 new members through the Starting Point class. Friends, this building holds 200. Like, if everybody's here on a Sunday, it's going to be crowded. And we want guests, and we want people to hear the gospel and know the gospel, and we're not going to turn away guests. We want to grow through conversion growth. And friends, our philosophy of ministry, just so you know if you don't, is that we don't desire to be a big mega church. We desire to get to a place where we have around 350, 400 members, and then we send out church plant teams of 50 or 75 or 100, where it doesn't gut the sending church, but it's like, it's not church planting, it's church plopping, like where we send out strong teams for church plants to thrive. And then we grow back up to 350 or 400, and then we send again, and then we send again, and then we send again, and then we send again. Friends, we don't want to build another building. We want to do that, complete that, and then be sending out, and this be a mission base, a base for mission. And friends, this is the story Mr. Leroy was a part of, and this is a story that you and I are a part of. But friends, this story is beyond any one person in this room. When I think about that building, I actually would love to pay it off, and like, we just raise the 1.6 if that's what the Lord desires. But I think about it being a blessing to generations. To those who are currently in the youth group and in college, I want them to be blessed the way we've been blessed. I want them to take the gospel further, to be an outpost here of mission, of sending church plants and sending missionaries. I want this to be a hub in this community where the Sangaree community is blessed by our presence. Friends, because we are part of the story. And let me tell you a bit of the legacy that you may not know. In some ways, there's two stories. One is this. In 1920, some followers of Jesus in Monk's Corner started a Bible study. That led to the planting of First Baptist Church of Monk's Corner. 58 years later, 1978, they started something known as the Sangaree Mission. 1984, Sangaree Baptist Church was established from that Sangaree Mission. I was 5 years old. In 2018, Sangaree Baptist Church merged together with Sovereign Grace Church to form Risen Hope Church. So that's one side of our family tree, if you will. The other is this. In 1979, Fairfax Community of Believers was planted in Fairfax, Virginia. In 1991, that Fairfax Church planted Crossway Community Church in Charlotte, North Carolina, Sovereign Grace Church. In 2011, a group of 12 adults and their kids moved to Somerville to plant Sovereign Grace Church of the Lowcountry. Those people were myself and my wife and our family, Jim and Sharon Hawkins, Christopher and Stephanie Warren and their kids, Nathan and Michelle Wingate. They were a newlywed couple. Michelle Youngsma, Wendy Alexander, Joe Hawkins, and Sarah Sutphin. In 2018, Sovereign Grace Church merged with Sangaree Baptist Church to form Risen Hope Church. Friends, that's our legacy, going back to, on one side, 1920, and on the other side, 1978. And friends, there were prayers prayed by those churches and those Christians years ago that have been answered. Just look around. Prayers prayed by people in 1978 about churches and planting and evangelism and mission and being a blessing to the Sangaree community. Prayers prayed, dreams had of going further. This is not just our story. This is a story that we are involved in. And I asked some of our members about their prayers and their dreams as we think through moving into that shell building. Kelly Griffin talked about a desire for a bigger space to make more disciples and not have to worry about going to two services, but being together as a church family. Laura Petrino told me that one thing that just kept coming to her as she was praying about the shell building is the word generations. That this would be for generations, future generations. And one of those people in a generation below us is Gabriel Pessoa. Gabriel said that he would love for us to move into the shell building and that the Lord would allow this current building to be used for a Spanish-speaking church. How awesome would that be? Gabriel, work on your Spanish, buddy. Andrew Jeffries said he's excited that more people can come when you have a bigger building. There will be more room to sit together and not have to look for seats when it's crowded. Allie Seaver said she wanted a welcoming space where more guests can come. Lauren Jeffries said she dreams of having a bigger base of people so we can send out church plants and also have a kitchen space that's in the same building so it doesn't have to run back and forth. Daniel Vai said, my dream is to see the new building full of people worshiping the Lord, especially people that have just met the Lord, new believers. Friends, what I love about those responses is that they're all about loving God and loving others. They aren't really about us at all, which is the posture we should have. Friends, let us pray big prayers and dream big dreams and let us honor God. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking some about Leroy's Challenge. Today's the only day we're doing like a message like this. Next week, we'll hear some testimonies about God's faithfulness and generosity. The week after that, September 21st, we're going to celebrate. We're going to receive pledge cards. We'll give our first offerings. We're going to hear testimony of God's saving work, and we're going to celebrate through baptisms. And we will rejoice in God's kindness yet again. Friend, as we end today, I want to encourage you to pray before the Lord how he may want you to consider this, having open hands to him, because we're asking God for $450,000. And you may wonder if that's even possible with a church our size. Let me show you one way this might be how God desires, Before I show you this next slide, though, please know that God may have wildly different plans than what this is. These kind of break down for me in just a math type thing of like, could this even happen? So can you put up that next slide-ish? This is one way it could happen. If we have one family given $50,000, which we've had that happen before, three families for 35, five families at 20, 10 families at 10, 17 families at five, one at one. And this is, when it says families, it's a single or a family. And this chart has 46 families or singles to it. We have about 70 in the church. So this assumes not everybody's given to this. We don't assume everybody's called to. But this chart helps me think through, okay, this goal is attainable. Now, you may look at this chart and you kind of find your place in the chart where you think, okay, I could give there. I remember a moment years ago, I was sitting with a guy and we had a similar type chart about fundraising. He was like, okay, find your place. And I was like, okay, I see my place where I would be comfortable. And he's like, what about praying for one above that place and asking God for that? And I remember thinking, oh, dang. Like, I'm not sure about that. And I remember talking to Kristen about it and then being like, okay, we're going to pray for that. And the Lord allowed it. And it was like, oh my gosh, God can provide if he wants to. Let's ask, let's pray. I recently was talking to a businessman in El Paso, Texas, and he said that his church was going through a similar thing as far as building campaign. And the church, they just said, hey, know your base as far as what God has on like your salary. And he said, why don't you ask God for extra? And whatever the extra is, give it to if the Lord wants you to do this. And he said, it was crazy. He's like, that year, or maybe 2 years, whatever it was, he said that the new businesses started thriving. Bonuses came in. He's like, it was just unreal to see like God be like, here, I'm making this happen. And friends, that's the kind of thing we want. We don't want to just like figure this out. We want to say, Lord, if this is your will, we want to be obedient. We want to be amazed yet again by your provision. And he just told story after story about raises and bonuses and unexpected giving. Friends, if God wants $1.6 million to come in tomorrow, he can do it. Like he can knock this out in a heartbeat. We're just praying. We are part of the story and he wants us to honor him. So let's submit to him. Let's have 100% faithfulness in praying. So we're not asking today for a number from you. We're asking you to pray. And we're just saying, like Paul says here, there's an opportunity. If this is what the Lord wants, we want to submit to him. Our ushers are going to be passing out this cool little card you can put up on your refrigerator to remember to pray. Can you guys hand those out, whoever has them? And every family or whoever wants them can grab one. We'll have these available the next 3 weeks. On the back, some more about this, as well as if you want this to be your pledge card, you can either put this in the box over there over the next few weeks, or you can turn in your number to Christopher Warren and email him. Is that okay, Christopher? Or you can pledge in realm under the building fund / Leroy's challenge. So that's in there as well. So we just want to pray. And so that's what we're asking, that we would just be a prayerful church about this opportunity and do what God puts in your heart. That's what we ask.